So in the Bible, there's a book called Galatians, and it's in the New Testament. It's actually a letter, as many of those books in the New Testament are. And it was written by a man called Paul, again, as many of the books were, to a group of churches in an area known as Galatia. That's why we call it Galatians. And Paul had been to that area before, and he'd brought the great news about Jesus, and many people had responded to this news, and they'd come to know Jesus, they'd come to know forgiveness in God, and they were very excited. They saw amazing things happening amongst them, spiritual things happening. Paul had then since moved on, he'd gone other places, and he'd heard news that things had gone a bit wrong in the churches of Galatia. But he couldn't go back and see them, he couldn't email them, he couldn't, you know, he didn't have that freedom to do that. So he wrote to them. Now, sometimes, I know this never applies to any of you guys, but sometimes when somebody loves you very much, but they can see that something's going wrong, they can sound a bit cross. Has that ever happened to any of you, that somebody who loves you very much has sounded a bit cross? It's happened to me more recently than you might think. it does happen. When people love each other, sometimes their passion to get things right can sometimes come across. And to be fair, Paul's letter to the Galatians does sound like that in some places. He wrote to them and he said, "You foolish Galatians, who put a spell on you? Before your very eyes, you had a clear description of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Tell me this one thing. Did you receive God's Spirit by doing what the law requires?" That's the Old Testament, all those rules, the old promise, the old covenant between God and the people of Israel. "Or by hearing the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and believing it. How can you be so foolish? You began by God's Spirit. Do you now want to finish by your own power?" Some translations say, "in your own strength," or "in the flesh." That's another phrase that's used sometimes. "Did all your experience mean nothing at all? Surely it meant something. Does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you because you do what the law requires, or because you hear the gospel and believe it?" Paul wrote a lot in that letter about how the old law couldn't set the people free. And yet, by living by God's Spirit, we had freedom, a new way to live. So if you put your faith in Jesus, that's how it started. It started spiritually. It started with the Holy Spirit. And don't let anyone deceive you. Don't let anybody trick you into thinking you need to do it a different way. You need to do it, have a different goal, do a particular thing. It's about the way that believing in God and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. It's not about the law. Trying to do things in our own way doesn't work. Paul explains that can't make us right with God. Because if we break part of the law, we're a lawbreaker. And so that law, which was just like a picture of what was to come in Jesus, it was sort of a foreshadow, like a shadow, but pointing forwards. That was just to tell people about Jesus. And they'd come to trust in Jesus, and then they were saying, "Oh, no, we better go back to the old ways." And Paul, as I've said, was a bit upset and a bit cross. And he wrote a bit later on in the book, "It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery." He wanted them to be free in the Spirit, not tied down by following rules that other people were coming along and telling them to do. And he said, "I say to you, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." That's not giving in to the things that are just of ourselves. "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other. But to keep you from doing these things, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." So that's what this service this morning is about. It's about, let's not focus on the old ways. Let's let the Holy Spirit give us new life. And let's just see how we're doing in that walk with the Spirit. So Paul went on in his letter to talk about things that people do when they're not following the Spirit, things that people do when they just choose their own way. And then, and he calls those the acts of the flesh, and then he says this, writes this, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So he'd been talking a lot about how the law was not able to set them free. He said, these things, these are the things that come without law. These are the things that is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we know what fruit is, don't we? We all know what fruit is. I think you could recognise some fruit if we had a little fruit quiz. Okay, so I black some fruit out and you need to tell me what you think the fruit is. Okay, simple game. Nice rosy red plate of bananas. What, apple? You guys. Oh, but this one will be a bit easier then. A lovely bunch of grapes, coconut, oranges. Easy one this time, surely. You're catching on. Not an apple, not an apple, not a watermelon. No, no, no. So close. It's a pea. Couldn't you tell from the shape? It was obvious. It is. It's the fruit of the pea plant. Okay, a fresh, sweet, juicy
apple.
Pineapple, I heard.
Apple.
Now, apple. Anybody else?
Coconut.
Very good. It's a pear. Now, you might say, that's not what was there. Well, because I forgot to mention, this boy was actually hiding behind it. Old Peter. You knew all along, really, didn't you? Those are the fruit that we were looking at. Fruit tar. Generally, for many fruit that we know, anyway, are easily recognisable. We know what makes an apple, we know what makes grapes, we know what makes a banana, we know what makes a pineapple, we know what makes a pear with a boy behind it. So once again, I was being a bit naughty there. But generally, we recognise fruit. Fruit has recognisable characteristics, and we'll think about that in the context of what we just read about the fruit of the Spirit. Another example, though, before, does anybody know where this is? Yep, that's right. So this is called the Major Oak. It's in Sherwood Forest, near a village called Edwinstow. And it looks pretty impressive, doesn't it? It's a big old tree, that is. But it does look a little bit tired. It's been propped up by poles and there's cables as well, because it's now getting so old that people feel if those weren't there, the weight of the branches would just break. And so it doesn't quite look in its former glory. But I remember I grew up about 5 to 10 miles away from this tree. And we used to go and see it occasionally. And we used to love it because it was all very exciting. We used to go to this tree. In fact, that's not me, that's my brother. He's a bit older than me, so I'm guessing that this would be about 1965, 66, something like that. And you can see no poles. That's how I remember it. It was an amazing tree. You could go right up to it, and more than go up to it. Anybody know what you could do when you got there? No, you couldn't climb. Well, you might have been able to, but we didn't do that. You could go inside it. It was hollow. And you can't really see from that picture. Sorry, that's not us. That's just some picture I found on the internet. You could go inside. Over the centuries, that it had grown and grown and grown and become hollow in the inside. And you could go inside it. And I remember going inside this dirty, smelly, horrible tree, but it was so exciting. It was a tree you could go inside. And of course, a tree in hollow, a big oak in Sherwood Forest, that is going to lead to some legends, isn't it? Well, you probably recognise this person, Robin Hood. That's actually Kevin Costner, but one of many portrayals of Robin Hood. You know, the legend of Robin Hood? And he used to gallivant around the forests of Nottinghamshire and Yorkshire and other places and putting wrongs right and that kind of thing. Anyway, so we used to imagine, of course, you know, a hollow tree in Sherwood Forest, obviously Robin Hood, all his merry men, the whole lot, all used to hide in there as the evil sheriff of Nottingham rode by. That's how we used to remember it anyway, how we imagined it. But actually, at the time when Robin Hood, Robin Locksley, whatever he was, when he was around in the 12th century, the major oak was probably a bit like this. Probably. They think the major oak is about 800 to 1,000 years old. So that would make the major oak about like that at that time. Anyway, so what do we know about oaks and acorns? Anybody know a familiar saying to do with oaks and acorns? That's right. Mighty oaks from little acorns grow. It's a common saying, fairly common anyway. And it says that from tiny little things, from little beginnings, great big things can be achieved or can grow. That's what people usually use it for. And in the plant kingdom, it can't be truer than the major oak. That incredible tree started off as one of those things. But I hear you say, but where did the acorn come from? The acorn came from an oak tree, so that's slightly less well-known saying. From mighty oaks, little acorns grow. It's also true, and that's the thing about fruit. Fruit is cyclic, isn't it? Fruit brings more of the thing that originated it. It's part of the natural cycle. The fruit of the Spirit, when the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives, the Holy Spirit is freer to work amongst us and do his work amongst us and bring more fruit of the Spirit in our lives, etc., etc. It's a natural ongoing cycle. That's why fruit is such a good image. It's part of the natural growth. And without fruit, plants cease to be. We need to see fruit in our lives of the Holy Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit, can you remember what the parts were? What was the first one? Does anybody remember? Would you like to come and be love? Thank you, James. There you go. I'm going to just wear that and just turn around a second. Let me get my... Any suggestions on any how you might describe love or define love? Or should I ask somebody else? I'll ask you an easy question. Can you think of a symbol that you might use for love?
What do you mean?
Like a hand symbol, like a gesture of some kind. Like that. It's a good one. I like that. Okay, we're going to use that. Got that? Love? Yeah. Got it. You got it. Nice. We know what love is. What was the next part?
Joy.
Joy? Thanks, Ruth. What's joy?
Happiness.
Happiness, yeah. That sort of thing. A bit deeper, maybe. That's what we always like to say, isn't it? What would you do for joy? What would be a nice... A nice big smile. See a big smile? You showing a smile? Fabulous. Okay. We've got love, we've got joy. Next one?
Peace.
Fantastic. Thank you, Darren. What's peace?
Calm.
Calm, yeah. You know a symbol for peace?
A dove.
A dove? What? I was going to do this, but you guys are so spiritual. Okay, so we're going to do a dove. Okay, so a dove, so that was something like that. Okay, yeah. Well, if you can't do that, you can always do that, okay? The cool kids are doing this. Okay, the next one. I'm quite happy to wait as long as it takes. Very good, yes. And you didn't need my clue, did you? You were all over it. There we go. Patience. What's patience? Don't know. I don't know. So... Any ideas for what we could do as an action for patients? No idea for any actions for patients? Looking at our watches? Maybe that's being impatient, I don't know. Taking off our watches and throwing them away? How about just waiting? A nice patient, we're not complaining, we just happen to be waiting. Patience, okay? All right. Let's go through it again. Love? Symbol? Joy? Peace? Patience? Patience is this. Fantastic. Anybody know what the next one was? Yes. Very good. It's not on the board, is it? You guys are amazing. I've been doing this for like weeks and I still can't remember them. Shh, Stop true. Okay, what's kindness?
To be kind to people.
Being kind to people, yeah. And can you think of a nice little hand signal or something about being kind to people? What do you tend to use when you've been kind? Could you just might be, you know, giving your hand, just like a reaching out to help somebody, kindness like that? That'll do?
Yeah.
Or sharing or something like that? Love? Love? Joy? Peace? Patience? Kindness? Fantastic. Next one? Tim. Sorry, I thought you were volunteering. Sorry. Goodness me, what could it be? Thank you, Tim. What's goodness, Tim? Yeah, it's a good symbol for it. And
what's being right, goodness?
Right. Excellent, thank you. Just what he said.
Yeah, exactly.
It does get hard to differentiate. So do you want to just shuffle down a bit? Because you've got to get nine of you in a row here. That's fantastic. Anybody know what comes after? I don't know why I'm doing that. I've already got one. Anybody know what comes after goodness? You want to come and wear the hat? Thank you, Judith. Faithfulness, which is
being faithful.
Being faithful. Standing fantastic. Any thought of an action for faithfulness? I thought maybe, which one was faithful? Hang on. We've got goodness, is that faithful? I did have one in my mind, and I forgot what it was. How about like a chest salute? You know, I'm going to be faithful, honourable, trustworthy. Is that okay? Yeah. Fantastic. Two more to go. Who wants to do the next one? Very good. And what could you think? What's gentleness?
I don't know.
Don't know. Being gentle to people. I think that's going to be the way we're doing these definitions today. And a symbol for gentleness. Let me think. We're getting an offering of a what about cradling a baby? Is that a nice thing to do? We'd like to be fantastic. One more to go. Go on then. Very good. There we are. Look at that. Self-control is?
I don't
know.
It's like controlling yourself.
Controlling yourself. We've all been greatly edified this morning. This is fantastic. And a symbol for self-control. How about... Is that a good one? So that we're not saying things, or? Okay, so let me just try this again. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, it sounds like a song, doesn't it? Now, we did do this once before, and so the words are quite fast, so it's absolutely no hope of trying to ask everybody to do all the actions in a row. So what we did when we did this in the start of a service a few, months ago now, is we went row by row. So your first row, your love all on your own, and maybe Matt as well. I'll join you. Okay. How many rows have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We haven't got enough anyway, so... You can all do the last one. What a good idea. Okay, so if you want to be row two, so your joy and your peace. No, that doesn't work, does it? No, your peace. There is. Oh, there's no.
We're missing out a front row.
Okay.
Love, joy, peace.
Love. Okay. Joy. No, but that's not... No, because they're in line with the fourth people. Because it's going to get very confusing, you see. Because, look, go on, 2, 3, 4. It's going to get very confusing. I'm confused. Okay. I'm going to make a decision. I'm good at this. We're going to start at the back. You guys are love, okay? Joy. Peace. Patience. Is that the next one? Patience. Kindness. Gentleness. Goodness. Thank you. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Okay, more people. It's marvellous. Okay, let's have the music. So, and if you want to stand when you do your action, you can. You don't have to, but you can. Maybe just when you do your action. Or all the time.
The fruit of the spirit is not a coconut. Fruit of the spirit is not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't beat the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit isn't love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a banana. The fruit of the spirit is not a banana.
You can sing along, it's not hard.
You might as well hear it. You got me the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a watermelon. The fruit of the spirit is not a watermelon. You want to be a watermelon. You might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a lemon. The fruit of the spirit is not a lemon. You want to be a lemon. You might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Oh, the fruit of the spirit is not a cherry. The fruit of the spirit is not a cherry. If you want to be a cherry, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Great! You might as well hear it. You can't be the fruit of the spirit, because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Well, you did. Well done. Thank you very much. Thank you. Wow. Right. So I have another little quiz. I'm going to put some things up on the board, and you have to guess whether they're A or B. Okay? Simple. A or B?
A.
Correct. A or B?
B.
It's B. What about this one?
B. A.
A and B. No, it's A. And this one?
A.
Well... It's B. This one? It's definitely one of those two. It's A. I'm racing through these now. Has anybody got any idea what on earth I'm talking about? Okay. This one? Oh. This is B. Things you might eat. Well, you can eat goat. Sorry if anybody's offended by that. Any other suggestions? Anybody want to say what my groups A and B are? It's a bit silly. Okay. Well, I'll just before I do that, I'm going to say, what about the word fruit? I'm going to tell you fruit's in A. It's all to do with what happens when you've got more than one of them. We've got two dogs, two cats, two goats. We've got two fish, two deer, two sheep. That word is the same when it means more than one as when it only means one. That's not true of fruit. I've got nine fruits there, and I'm using the word fruits. Okay, I've got an apple and grapes and a boy hiding behind a pear. So why did Paul say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? I think he said it like that. Why did he use the word fruit, not the fruits? What about this one? Do you want us to try singing this one? The fruit of the apple tree is rosy red, rosy round, sweet, crunchy, tasty, shiny, juicy, delicious, and pips in the core. I thank you. So, the characteristics of a fruit, those rosy isn't a fruit, and round isn't a fruit, and sweet isn't a fruit. The characteristics of the fruit of an apple tree. So other things, there's some nice rosy cheeks and a round football and some sweet sugar and some crunchy carrots and the shiny sun, which are all the things that I said were attributes of an apple. We know it's an apple when it's got all those attributes. We know it's an apple. We recognise an apple because it's all those things that I said that I now can't remember. Rosy, that kind of apple anyway. Rosy, crunchy, shiny, pips in the core. That's when we know it's an apple because it shows all those characteristics. And I think the fruit of the Spirit is like a thermometer. It's like a gauge. It's like a barometer for that measures pressure. Because when the Spirit is at work in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit, all his characteristics, are evident. So we can measure ourselves. We can say, is the fruit of the Spirit evident in my life? Or do I need to invite the Spirit more into my life? So elsewhere, in that we've been looking at Corinthians in other services, and we've been looking at one of the Sundays, we looked at the gifts of the Spirit, and we talked about gifts as a plural thing, and some have one gift and some have another. And we're eagerly to desire the greater gifts. It talks about that. But I think when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, we don't eagerly desire love over patience, or we don't eagerly desire, I'd like a bit of self-control rather than faithfulness. We eagerly desire the Spirit, and he brings his fruit into our lives. Some of that characteristics affect the way we feel, some of them affect the way we act, but all reflect what he is like and the way he deals with us. If we demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, it's because we're living by the Spirit, and we will reflect God to those we meet. God wants us to be in step with his Spirit. And it's easy, I have found, in my 30-plus years of being a Christian, it's very easy to get bogged down in the mundane and miss the spiritual. But this isn't new. Seeking to be filled with the Spirit, seeking to know God's Spirit in our lives, that's not a new thing, you know. It's the way you came to know Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, truly I tell you, when he was still on the earth, he said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, and he was talking about the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. God wants us to receive his Spirit. He wants us to know his Spirit in our lives. It's clearly the will of the Father and Jesus. He wants us to be spiritual people. Sometimes we need a bit of a prompt. Just as an illustration of this, this is hot off the press. This is bang up-to-date news in the Carlisle household. Over the last few weeks, really, our sink has been getting slower and slower to drain. And it got to the stage when it just stopped, and it was pretty much like this. This isn't actually our sink, but it's what it looked like. Eventually, it would seep away, but it was. I tried hot water. We tried Mr. Muscle and Blocker. We tried a plunger, which I broke in the process. We tried everything. I took the huge bends off the bottom of under the sink. They were clear. I was thinking, I don't know what's going on. Most of you know I'm not particularly handy when it comes to things like this. Anyway, so yesterday, Alex said to me, there's water seeping out around, we've got outside in the back garden, the back wall, there's a drain and it's actually covered with a piece of concrete. So there's water seeping out around it. Well, that's a bit odd. So I lifted the top of this cover and it looked a bit like this. It was disgusting. It was smelly. It was horrible. And it was all bleh. Anyway, so I tried to get the water out, and I prodded and I poked. I got some, you know, those pipe rod things. Tried a bit of that. Couldn't shift it at all. Siphoned out the water. And eventually thought, I know what I've got. Let's bring out the big guns. And I've got one of these things. And so I got that going, stuck it down the drain, and suddenly it was and it all washed away. I had the manhole cover up, saw all this disgusting sludge go down the manhole cover, or down the, you know, down the drain. It was fantastic. It was all clear. And now, this thing looks like this. It's fantastic. It's marvellous. That's not me cleaning it, I have to admit. These are just representations of what happened. But this really happened yesterday. And I thought to myself, as I was cleaning out this sludge and this grime, I thought, do you know what? I think there's a lesson here. Sometimes we just need a rush of clean water to clean out the grime and the sludge and all that stuff. And, you know, I think sometimes we just need to ask the Holy Spirit for a fresh filling, a fresh cleansing. And I know we're called to be filled with the Spirit, you know, daily, and yes, that is a call. But sometimes, you know, we just get bogged down. Let's just say to the Lord, Lord, I recognize that I need your Holy Spirit in my life, and I want to be walking in step with the Spirit. So let's pray together. Lord, I thank you that it was your will that the Holy Spirit come into our lives. I thank you that the fruit of his being in our lives is evident when he is at work within us. And we say, Lord, we're sorry that at times we're not loving, we don't know peace, we're not joyful. Sometimes we're just missing out on the fruit of your Spirit in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that today, that your Spirit would come afresh amongst us and fill us anew. We commit ourselves, Lord, to seeing your fruit in our lives. Amen.